Hi, this is Renee, and you are listening to the Drink the Wild Air podcast, where we are going to talk about changes in our lives and the next phase and what does that next chapter look like. I had a very transformative time last year, a little bit of a near-death experience, and it opened my eyes to how I want to live my life with a fuck ton more intention. And we see these things in the movies where the main character goes through something like this. Like there's this, they get really bitch slapped in the face by life. And then suddenly they transform their lives overnight. They realize they're like, I've been an asshole this whole time, and now I'm going to become a good human being, or something, some version of that, right? Or, and for me, I feel like what has happened is like I one looked at that and I was like, whoa, it doesn't take, it's not just an overnight change. It's not like suddenly you wake up. You have an epiphany. Don't get me wrong. I definitely had the epiphany of like, whoa, what am I doing? Starting to question everything. How have I been living my life? Who am I surrounding myself with? What does this next phase look like on this journey? And what do I want to do differently and continue to move forward from there? But it took time. And in the movies, they have like maximum these days an hour because like no one's really sitting much longer than that. I feel like everybody is just like we our attention span is that of a goldfish and potentially less than that. So they only have a short period of time to get their point across. So I just want to say that one of the things that's that I'm realizing is that it takes time and it takes a lot of questioning. What's true for you and what's not, and understanding who you are and your value system, and coming back home to yourself. Because what I also experienced was a lot of trauma. And so I had moments where I felt very disconnected from myself. And to find my way back to myself, it's taken time. And I still have moments where I have some scars on my arm from where I had some bandages and stuff on my arms from them hooking up the IV and such, and it when they went to go finally take the bandage off, like it had been on there for so long that when they took it off, it actually took some of my skin off. So anyway, I have some scars, and so the other day when I was walking, I looked down and I saw it, and I had a little bit of a moment, and I had a little bit of a flashback, and I let myself feel that feeling and didn't shame it and just let it be what it was. And thankfully, since I was walking, I was able to also move that out of me. So it wasn't just sitting there stuck and I didn't ruminate on it for too long. And that was very, very helpful to be able to just like move it through me. So I say this because we go through things sometimes in life that are hard and they're gut-wrenching and they make us think about the world in a different way, whether we wanted to or not. And sometimes these things are very wildly unexpected. And my friend John asked me this question that I felt like was so good. He asked me, what's the biggest mistake that I've ever made? And as a person who has made many, many mistakes, it was a hard one to answer. It was a very hard one to answer. So I wasn't entirely sure how to answer it. And then it came to me later, one of the biggest mistakes that I've made is acting from my wounds and old beliefs and old stories that came from somewhere, and making decisions based off of those old beliefs we form a lot of these beliefs about ourselves at a very early age, and they oftentimes are the result of somebody that is older than us that we see as an elder that we should respect saying something to us about ourselves, and then we believe them and we internalize that belief and we just carry that baggage into our adulthood. And it finally, like, you get to a point where you're like, wait, you meet it, right? You meet that old belief and you're like, wait a minute. Is this actually true? Like, you start to wake up to it and you're like, huh, is that actually true? Like, I'll give you an example, and this is kind of a lighter example. I definitely have a lot heavier ones that I could tell you about, but I'll keep it light. So, when I was a kid, I went to go try out for the chorus at my school or something like in my town. I don't know. And I loved singing, absolutely loved singing, and wasn't self-conscious about it at all. I remember just singing all the time, in my bedroom, around my neighborhood, with my friends, and it was just something that I did. And then I went to go try out for this chorus thing, and the music teacher had us try out for this in the hall. It was like between me and some other girl, which is so strange, like looking back on it. And she was just like obviously in a rush or something, and she was like, okay, like sing, just go ahead and sing something. And she had both of us sing something, and then she like quickly was like, okay, well, you didn't get it, there's only one more spot, and then she gave it to this other girl. And in that moment of her just being in a hurry and being in a rush and having us compete against each other in a hallway in school, and then just quickly making a decision like that, I internalized that as like, oh, I'm not good enough. My voice isn't good enough. I don't have a great singing voice. And then it made me like very self-conscious about singing in general. And it still sits there as an adult, even though it's something that I love to do. It's a great release, by the way, is to sing, whether you have a good voice or not. It feels really good. And so there was something that quieted me after that in that moment. I was about 10 years old, and this thing that I loved so much, I just was like, well, this person that's an authority figure just basically told me I'm not good enough and that my voice isn't good enough. So I guess what's the point of this? And I only really sang in places where I didn't feel like many people would be judgmental of that. So, like in the shower, at home, in my car. Things like that. And I remember still loving it though, and just feeling like I had to keep it hidden because it could offend somebody. I was like, oh, my voice could possibly offend somebody, or they could judge it. Like, they could judge this. And then in college, I took voice lessons because I was like, I still love this thing. I still love it. And it was so hard for me to do that. Like, voice lessons for me were, I would love to do them again because I think it's a very valuable lesson, as is improv. I feel like it really gets you out of your comfort zone in such a tremendous way. But I remember, okay, two things. Let me backtrack just a little bit here. I tried out for a musical at camp, and I just remember feeling very self-conscious about trying out, considering my first tryout didn't go so smoothly, and then I really didn't effort. I remember being like, well, if I just sing this song that's okay, and I just sing it like I don't give it my full effort, then no one's actually criticizing my real voice. They're criticizing the voice that I'm letting them hear, but they're not actually criticizing like my full singing voice. And then that will hurt less. And so I remember for the tryout, I had a bunch of my other, all of the other campers that were going to also be in this musical as well. They were sitting there and they were listening to me try out. And then I got this part that had a very limited amount of singing in it. And I just remember feeling like relieved by that at the same time. I remember being like, oh, thank God, I'm so relieved. Like, I really want to do this. Part of me really wants to do this. I really want to sing. I want to be in this musical. And also at the same time, I don't want my voice to be, my real voice to be 100% criticized and critiqued because that hurt so badly when it was. I have this belief about myself that my voice is not good enough. And it also, when I got that part with very, like a very limited amount of singing in it, it also solidified, like, yeah, see, your voice isn't good enough. Even though I knew I didn't actually try, I still went with that storyline of, yeah, see, look, like the confirmation bias, getting that confirmation bias, like, see, your voice isn't good enough. Then in college, I took voice lessons because there was a part of me that was still like, I really love this singing thing. I just really love it. And voice lessons were hard because it was super intimate, in that it's you and the teacher and a piano. And I had to sing in front of just this one person while he is, in fact, critiquing my voice and giving me ways that I can expand it and all of these things. And I can feel where it's just like getting choked in me, where it's not fully coming out. But what was really nice about singing lessons is I feel like that my teacher knew that. He was like, you have an incredible range. And for some reason, we're just not getting the power out of you. Like, we're not getting it out of you. So then I had to do a recital, which was also terrifying. And I had to be in front of a bunch of other people, a bunch of other people's parents, because it was a recital for everybody else that was taking voice lessons too. And I went last. I was dead last. So I just got to sit there and sweat and panic the entire time. Oh my God, it was torture. And then I got up and I was just like, fuck it. I don't fucking care. I'm just gonna sing this little song. And I sang it again, just like not giving it my full effort and kind of laughed during it too. 'Cause I was just like, this at this point is just comical because I sat there the entire time, just panicked. And now I have to go. And I was just like, whatever, I'm just gonna do it and I don't care how well I do. And so I did it and I was just relieved to get it over with. It was just like at that point, I was just done. I was relieved to have it just finished. And so again, it goes and it plays into this storyline of like, you know, your voice really isn't good enough. And then also at the same time, I started to think, well, what am I even gonna do with this anyway? I'm not going to become like the next Christina Aguilera, because at the time she was like all the rage. So, and she has an incredible voice. I got to give it to her. She really does. So there was also a part of me was like, well, it's like one of those things where I'm not going to really take this anywhere professionally. But here's the thing. I still limit it. I love singing. I limit the amount that I sing around my own house. I sing in the car. I sing in the shower a little bit, but like I'm scared of it. I'm scared of doing that because I have this belief in me that my voice isn't good enough and that it's offensive. So who knows? Maybe you'll catch me singing on here one of these days. Maybe I'll be brave enough. I don't know. But I developed that belief system came from somewhere, right? And also at the same time, like, I still love singing, whether or not I'm good at it, whether or not someone else thinks that I'm good at it, it doesn't matter. I just like doing it. It feels good to do. And that belief system that I had about being quiet with it and not really allowing myself to sing came from somewhere. All of them come from somewhere, you know? Like, so we carry around these beliefs about we're not good enough, we're not smart enough. And they came from somewhere. You developed it at some point from some place, generally from someone and someone's feedback. And it's our job to question it and say, is that actually true? Because the other part of it too is if you are then making decisions based off of those old belief systems that might not really be true, you're not actually living in alignment with your truth. You're then more susceptible to living a life that does not align with you. It aligns with some belief system that you created because someone was in a rush one day, and like my music teacher, or someone was in a bad mood, or someone was jealous of something that you possessed, so they decided that they needed to put down the very thing in you that they love because that made them feel better about themselves. You don't know what somebody's fucking motive is. And so if you don't question it, you'll never understand where your truth actually lies hidden underneath all of the layers of all of this fucking baggage and belief system that we created to survive, that got us through, that's no longer for us to carry around and isn't even the truth of who we are. And that's when you wake up one day and you say to yourself, how did I fucking get here? This isn't it, babe. This is not fucking it. And I feel so passionately about this because I think a lot of us feel very confused. We're like, whose life is this? This isn't what I wanted. Like, how did I get here? And it might be because someone was like, hey, I feel like you should really be a this because you're good at this. And you're like, belief created about myself. This person knows more than me. I am, in fact, going to just choose to believe this person's story over my own. And I'm now going to go into this profession or do this thing that really, I don't, it does, it's not really me. Like, I mean, that's happened a lot of the time in my life. Like, I'm really at this point reflecting on a lot of different things. Like, when I was younger, my parents did not want me to go to art school for college. I also really wanted to take a gap year. I was not an incredible student. Going to school for me was torture. I felt like, first of all, being in fluorescent lighting all day long, is that actually good for anybody? I don't know. And also, I went to a school that was highly competitive and only really cared about you if you were doing well. If you were struggling, they were just like, well, like, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and figure it out. And you're just like, I'm struggling here. I don't know how. The social aspect for me was also really hard. I just felt like I didn't fit in, and felt very sensitive being there. I felt like I felt everything. And I was just like, I hate this so much. I don't want to be here. And so I struggled. And it's like, yeah, even though I had moments where I very much excelled and did really well in at sometimes, it wasn't an environment that made much sense for me. And I really enjoyed things that were creative. And unfortunately, my school was very highly driven by academics, and that's what they prioritized. That's what they honored. That's what they cared about. So the creativity in me was kind of like it was this fire that was sort of like squashed on so many levels, and like everything was trying to put it out. which is one of the reasons why I loved camp. And I was just like, camp is my favorite thing on the planet. And I have like some of my fondest memories of camp because camp allowed you to be creative and it was a structured fun. And I absolutely loved that and thrived there and made a lot of friends. And I think it showed me that if I were in the right environment for me, then thriving actually was entirely possible. And so that was good, and it was great for my self-esteem. So that was awesome that I had that. But I just remember wanting to go to art school, and my parents being like, no, you can't do that. You need to go to college and get a degree in business. And I was like, fuck. Like, I even was saying, I remember being like, I really love how the brain works and psychology and all of those things. And that also in my family and in my lineage, like, was something that they didn't really fully believe in. which is hilarious because I think now, anyway, so that the very things that I was interested in and wanted to explore more, I was told no. Nope, can't do that. That's not what's good enough in this world. But the thing is that they were coming from a place within themselves, their own belief system. And they were trying to set me up in a way that would make it so that I would be successful and I would make money, and business to them was the way that you did that. And so they were trying to protect me. And it also just got me further and further away from the truth of who I am. And now, when you actually look at it and you actually see, like, this is like mind blowing to me, that there are children now that are using their creativity on TikTok and other things to make shitloads of money. And no, it's not business. I mean, it's become a business, but it's not a business degree. Like, there's somebody that I follow and I just absolutely love her content on Instagram, which that social media is an entirely different subject because I'm starting to spend less and less time on there. But what I love about what she does is she's a med student, and does these videos of her dancing and things like that. And she uses her creativity, which is dance. And she's talked about how that's actually paid off her all of her student loans already. And I'm like, so it's so funny. The very thing that my parents were like, do not do that because that will get you nowhere. You will be a broke, starving artist. I'm like, whoa, look at what people are doing with it now. And this person is just one example of that. And so I think the thing is that that's where you have to start to question, like, is that true? Is it actually true? And the biggest mistake that you can make is to believe these old stories that come from somewhere. And whenever it feels like you're doing something because it feels like you should, or someone else has told you where your value is, and it feels so misaligned and like it's really not coming from you at all. I think it's our job to question it. And that takes time to wake up to that and to have that level of self-awareness. It's not an easy thing to do. And you can't be aware of everything all at the same time either. And I recognize that too. And then there's a balance of like putting a ton of pressure on those things too, of like, oh my God, I got to change everything. And it's like, okay, yeah, yes, maybe you do. And also, where are you going to start with that? And making these tiny decisions in the direction of the life that you are hoping to create. And that comes from understanding some of your values. And for me, one of the things that I value a lot is I value spending time in nature, moving my body, writing, these different creativity and movement and all of this stuff. And so like I'm at this point where I'm like, okay, the decisions that I'm making, I'm starting to go like, okay, well, then what actions am I going to take towards that and do that? And then your actions and your wants are aligning, which then feels good. And then it's changing your belief system at the same time. And that's a hard thing to do because if you've never really allowed yourself and you've never been this version of you before, it's scary. And I signed up for a hike. That's an international hike. And while I was so excited by it, I was simultaneously terrified by it. And part of it is because I was like, who am I to do this? I've never done something like this before. And so my mind started to go into this place of like, that's not who you are. You don't do this kind of thing. And I'm going by myself, but I'm meeting up with a group. So not fully by myself, but still. And I would like, even though it's a good thing, and even though it's something that I want to do, it aligns with my values, it aligns with the type of person that I want to be, with the type of activities that I want to do. All of these things feel really good. And then at the same time, my mind's like, that's not who you are. You don't do this kind of thing. So then I had to pick it apart and I had to say, okay, well, I one hiked a lot in California. So yes, I am in fact a hiker. I also walk a lot here in Massachusetts, like all the time. I do, I have two dogs, one that I walk all the time because he was becoming what I like to call a fat hippo in the cutest way, but like, you know, anyway. So while I take him and then I go by myself, and part of that is that I also, after I eat, try to get some movement so that I am helping to level out my blood sugar, which is a positive thing that also aligns with my value system of like health and well-being and wanting to stay strong and all of these things, right? So, as I'm picking this apart, I'm like, oh no, hold on. Like, you are a hiker. You have traveled by yourself many times. You've flown solo countless times. Like when I was in California, I'd have to come back to see my family. A lot of the time I was coming back here by myself. I visited my sister when she was living overseas. I did that by myself. And so I'm like, wait a minute, this whole thing that I'm saying about myself isn't even true. And then the other thing that I'm saying, because I am a hiker, I have traveled by myself, like I have done these things, that this is like just slightly different, not entirely different, just slightly different. So I am, in fact, that person. So the very thing that I'm like, oh, who are you to do this? That's not who you are. I'm like, fucking no, I actually, that's wrong. I am those things. So then combating or working with the, creating a new identity or whatever, where your mind and your fear comes up, and just being like, hey, fear, like, thank you so much. I understand what you're trying to do here, but you're also wrong. And then with that too, there's this part of me that says, like, okay, what are the most exciting, not to gaslight myself either. Like, I don't want to gaslight myself and sugarcoat anything because it is kind of scary to fucking travel by yourself, whatever. People love to tell you they're stories about their misfortunes too. And that's why I've kept a lot of this to myself, is because I don't want to hear that. Like, I get it. I know what can happen, and I don't need people then just telling me all of their scariest stories. Like, I get it. I already know. I'm not walking into this like, oh, nothing bad could ever possibly happen. Like, I know. And so to not, I don't want to gaslight myself. I let myself feel those feelings. But the other thing that has really helped is that I keep saying to myself, I get to dip my feet and body in the Mediterranean. And I love water. If there's one thing about me that I know to be so true, is my love for water. I don't need to go swimming, to do laps, to get anything. Like, it doesn't have to be an activity like that. I just want to be floating in it. I want to be in it. I want to be like looking at it. I want to be near it. I absolutely just, I love water. And so one of the things that helps to kind of calm me down, but also get me like hyped up for it at the same time, is the idea that like, holy shit, I get to have this really cool experience. And I don't have to emotionally try to caretake anybody else, and I don't have to go with anybody else's plan, really, other than the itinerary that's set up for me with this group. Like, if someone else doesn't want to go in the water with me, I don't have to care about that. I get to just do it anyway. I don't have to do something on somebody else's terms because they don't like cold water or they don't like whatever the hell. I don't have to think about it. And think about like, oh, are they bored sitting on the beach waiting for me in the water? Like, I don't have to think about that. That's so nice. I get to just have that moment and not have to think about that. I know the other person is feeling and like, oh, are they bored? Oh, like, am I holding them up from what they want to do? Oh, what a relief. What a relief. And if you're also like a fellow water baby person that just loves being around the water, like, isn't it the best? It's something about it. Just there's a full body relaxation that happens for me where my nervous system just feels like everything is released. And I love that. I absolutely love that. I think water is like just so healing in a lot of ways. So that's also something that I've been telling myself as I'm embarking on this next step. And so I'm creating this new Nene. My nickname that I have had since I was a kid is Nene. So I'm like creating this new nickname, this new person. And I'm saying it, I'm talking about myself in the third person because there is sort of almost like this third person view that I've been having. So I'm creating this new Nene and seeing what happens with that and where that takes me. And I have these moments that come up for me that are like, the who are you to do this? But the thing is that like when I go back to what's the biggest mistake that I've ever made, that question that my friend John asked me, I think, oh my God, I can't live like that anymore, where I just have continued to act from these old belief systems. Because the time is going to go by and there's grief in that. There's missed opportunities. There were things that I wish that I had done sooner, of course, tons of regret. And then I also have this choice to continue to do things that way or not. And then at that point, like once you see it and then you choose to continue to make those, like to act from that same place, that's on you. All of the responsibility falls on your shoulders. It is no one else's fault. It becomes yours and it becomes your responsibility to move forward in a different way. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's weird and it's painful. And like I said, there's grief and there's, oh my God, I can't believe that I wasted so much time. And I can't believe that I ever believed that old thing and all of this stuff. Like, yeah, all of those feelings come up. And then simultaneously, the feelings of like, you can't do that. You can't be that person. What the hell? It's too late for you. It's too late for you. You can't do that now. And if I continue to believe that, I'm never gonna make the changes that I want to make, and I'm never gonna live the life that I want to live, and that's way more painful. That is way more painful to me. And I refuse to let that be the case. Absolutely refuse. So I will leave you with a funny story because I told you about high school and I told you about how like painful it was and how I didn't really enjoy it very much at all. I was this one day, it was junior year of high school. I put on at the time, like workout clothes were actually coming on the scene, starting to become really popular. And so, like, I put on my little, like, flared workout pants, like stretchy workout pants, and then a shirt, and like went to school. And I'm walking with my little boyfriend at the time, and I was like, feels like there's something in my pants. Like, I sort of felt like this thing that was like, I didn't understand what it was, and that I was feeling this like thing that kept touching my calf muscle, and it was super uncomfortable as I was walking. And so him and I are walking, and I am like shaking out my leg every now and then. And then finally I just like shake out my leg like super hard, and a pair of underwear comes flying out. It was clean, thank God. It static electricity'd itself to my pants in the dryer. And in the morning, I was too tired, as I usually was and still am in the morning. And so I just flung this pair of underwear in the hallway. The very, very busy hallway of my school. My boyfriend at the time looked at me. I looked at him, and I was like, we will never speak of this. We are going to pretend this didn't happen. And we just kept going. I still wonder what happened to that pair of underwear. Like, who stumbled upon it? Who was like, oh my God. Like, why is this here? Oh, it was a red thong. Oh my gosh. The thong song came out when I was 14 years old. And so, like, after that, everybody, that was the thing, like, only thongs from that point forward. It was like a red thong that just, like, skated across the busy hallway of my school. So yeah, if I hadn't been an awkward enough person, that was something that happened. And yeah, RIP Red Thong. I hope you found a good home. Actually, I really hope you didn't find a good home. I hope no one just like picked you up off the hall floor and thought to themselves, sweet, I just scored a new pair of underwear. Anyway, so I hope that there's something that came up for you from my story and what I'm going through in creating this next phase that will help open you up to the possibilities that you are maybe holding yourself back from. Because there are certain things that you believe about yourself. And if this is an opportunity to go get a journal and question some of those things, then please do it if that's something that works for you, or just kind of keep it in your mind today. But anyway, I hope that you have a fantastic day, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.